Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Lamed Vav. We're on Lamed Hey Amed Beis. We are starting today a little bit after the Gemara. Let's just do a quick recap. We started the fourth parak of the Masechta yesterday. First topic of discussion, which will continue to be pretty much our discussion for the remainder of today, is you do chalitza to a woman who's pregnant. Now that needs a lot of context. What happened? So what happened over here is as follows: is that Rachmanis, so your brother died, and it leaves its widow, and now so there is an opportunity for either Yibam or chalitza. That's straightforward. That's what we've been doing since the beginning of the Masechta. However, the complication over here is that when he left his wife, his widow, she's pregnant. So what are you supposed to do? So what you're supposed to do is actually really simple, and that is wait and see. In other words, let's say it's the beginning of her pregnancy, and so she's got 9 months to go. Okay, good. So you wait. And whether to see whether she has a child or she does not have a child. Now, here are the consequences. If she has a child, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibam, because we know the mitzvah of Yibam only exists when the husband leaves his wife childless, but over here he did not. So Rachmanis, he impregnated her before he died, but that's his child. And as a result of that, there is no mitzvah of Yibam. Yibam is only when there's no children. So under those circumstances, now what? So now that there's no mitzvah of Yibam, so now there's an Isser of Eishes Ach. Okay. And that's really straightforward. And obviously you cannot marry her, you can't marry the co-wife. V'chule, v'chule. The co-wives are also going Eishes Ach. Okay. There's nothing to talk about. Good. Now, what if, let's say, Rachmana, she miscarries? So now that's compounded tragedy. And if she has a miscarriage after having lost her husband, so under those circumstances, now there's a mitzvah of Yibam. Because now your brother died childless, and so now there's a mitzvah of Yibam. And now you'll do, after the miscarriage, you'll do Yibam or Chalitza. That's what's supposed to happen. And that's really straightforward. What we discussed yesterday, machloks between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And that is, what if you do Yibam or Chalitza during the pregnancy? Okay, now that obviously is risky behavior because at this point in time, we don't know whether Yibam or Chalitza is even necessary. But you do Yibam or Chalitza during the pregnancy. Is that going to have any validity? It'll be easier to discuss Chalitza rather than Yibam. Yibam obviously gets complicated because now it could very well be that you violated Nisa. Okay. Let's just focus for now on where you did chalitza while she was pregnant. So is that going to have validity or is that not going to have a validity? Now, that's a little bit of a strange question because, well, let's wait and see what's happening. Because, again, if she has the baby, so then the chalitza wasn't necessary. And if she didn't have the baby, the chalitza was necessary. So what's the discussion? So as we learned in yesterday's stuff, the discussion is the following. In other words, you did chalitza while she was pregnant and Rachmanis, she was mapil. She miscarried. Does she have to go ahead and now do chalitza again? Meaning, is the chalitza that you did during her pregnancy, is that going to have any validity to it whatsoever? Retrospectively. That's the discussion that between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, and the positions are really clearly laid out. Rav Yochanan says that chalitza is not required, meaning that chalitza was an acceptable chalitza, and Reish Lakish says, no, you need to do chalitza again. The chalitza that's done during pregnancy has no validity to it whatsoever. Now, what's the nekuda machlokas? So this is what we did yesterday. So the Gemara says it can explain to via svar, it can explain it based on drushas. Okay, the drushas I'm not going to go over again. It's a question of whether or not beinin lo and ayin alav. It could be whether or not we darshan, we don't darshan the pesukim. But in terms of svara, so the Gemara said yesterday that as far as svara is concerned, so let's start with Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan will tell you that we can look at things retrospectively. In other words, let's say Eliyahu Navi were to come and say, I know she's pregnant, but it's not going to be a successful pregnancy. So if you knew that information going forward, so then was the chalitza valid? Of course, because the chalitza is necessary, and therefore it's going to be valid. Okay, so we don't have the crystal ball, and we don't have the ability to look forward. But we certainly have the ability to look retrospectively. We could look backwards. And so in hindsight, we could say that, look, because the miscarriage, because the it didn't result in a successful marriage. Sorry, it was sorry. scratch that sentence. Because it was a miscarriage, and now we're looking in hindsight. So therefore, she was eligible for chalitza. You did chalitza, and therefore, it's going to be valid. That's the svara behind Rav Yochanan, the ability to look backwards and to say because now we know this, so therefore we can look back. It almost sounds like, I mentioned this yesterday, it almost sounds like it's a Breira discussion. It's not exactly the same, but it's similar, certainly similar. And meanwhile, Reish Lakish will tell you no. Reish Lakish will tell you that, look, we do not have this ability to look forward, to look backwards. When we look looking forward, we just simply don't have that. We don't have that koach. Now, to look backwards, halacha doesn't allow that as well. Meaning you have to look at everything at it is currently at. Right now, she's currently pregnant, which means there may not be a need for chalitza right now. Okay, yes, it's going to be contingent on whether or not the pregnancy is successful or unsuccessful, but right now she's pregnant. And Reish Lakish will tell you right now she's simply not a candidate for chalitza, period. Okay, so what we have is a basic machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. This is going to be one of those rare times in Shas where we're going to be siding like Reish Lakish, not like Rav Yochanan. The Gemara is going to discuss that. That we get to at pretty much the end of the sugya. Lamed Vav Amin Aleph as we approach the end of the sugya. So we will see that the halacha is going to go like Reish Lakish, which is generally speaking not the psak. But this is one of those exceptions. How many exceptions are there in Shas? So there are going to be three. And over the course of this morning's daf, we're going to go through the three exceptions, this being one of them. Okay, so Esrei. We're going to start now on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, and we're going to be about halfway down in the Amud. Esrei, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish. So we're going to do a lot of back and forth right now between these two shitas. We're going to start now with a direct attack from Rav Yochanan to Reish Lakish, just in terms of general sensitivity to the Lashon HaGemara. When you see the word Esvei as opposed to Mesvei, so Esvei means it's a direct attack, meaning they're actually discussing and dialoguing one to the other. Mesvei is the Gemara just generally asking, we can ask, and whenever you see the word Esvei or Mesvei, it's going to be coming from either Mishnah or Braisa. So Esvei. So Esvei, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, and Avlash HaKayama, who asa b'krovas evi asa b'krov avu pasam en kohuna. Now, our Mishnah, which doesn't discuss this issue exactly, but our Mishnah discusses a very similar issue. Go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah discusses a chalitza that's done for a Yavama, v'nimseis mu'beres, meaning you didn't know she was pregnant, but turns out that she was pregnant. And so, and v'yalda, and she had a child. So what did our Mishnah say? So our Mishnah says that it depends whether or not the vlad is kayama or in kayama. And the Mishnah, part of the back and forth of the Mishnah, is that, and I'm rereading the Gemara right now. Ein avlad shel kayama. So let's say the child was not a viable child. So hu asa b'krovas evi asur b'krovav upasa mena kahuna. So now what happens is that we now are looking at the chalitza that was done, and the chalitza was necessary. Therefore, you and that woman now are chalutzas. It's a funny word, but in other words, you and that woman now had a chalitza relationship. Now, being that you had a relationship with this woman, what does that mean? It means a couple things. You can't marry her relatives, she can't marry your relatives, and, because she's a chalutza, she can't marry a kohen. No. Bishlam alididi. So now Rav Yochanan says, how does the Mishnah favor? It favors my position. Bishlam alididi damina chalitza smoberesh ma chalitza misham haki pasla. So now, Mishnah seems to be really strongly in my favor. But according to you, Reish Lakish, where the chalitza is simply an invalid chalitza, so am I pasul mina kahuna? So I don't understand. So why should she be disqualified? Meaning, according to you, she's not a chalitza. So amalei midraban luchum rabama. So he says, you're right. Meaning, me'ikar adin, I will tell you, I will agree with you that she's not a chalitza. The Mishnah describes her as being a chalitza, that's a chumrah. I mean, in other words, because you did the act of chalitza to her, so the perception is that she's a chalitza, and so the chachamim said, okay, so as a chumrah, we're going to call her now a chalitza. Now, obviously, that's a chumrah, meaning that she can't marry a kohen because of this rabbinic stringency. But still, that's how Reish Lakish would understand the Mishnah. So here we're going to do it again, round two. Same discussion, but we're just going to go in the other direction. So here now in second version, we are going to go the other way, meaning Reish Lakish now is challenging Rav Yochanan. Remember, Reish Lakish is of the opinion that chalitzas mu'beres is not considered a chalitza. So, in avlad shel kayama, so in the Mishnah, if it's later discovered that it was not a viable child, so who has a bekrovasev? He has a bekrovav. Upasam and a kahuna. So what does the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah tells us that the chalitza was in fact valid. So bishlam lididi damina chalitzas mo berlosh ma chalitza hani dekani pasam and a kahuna lechumra. Now here, the way we are dissecting the Mishnah is that immediately it's acknowledged and recognized that her disqualification to a kohen is just a chumra. velokatani inetzricha chalitza menachin. And the Mishnah does not say no chalitza is required from the brothers. Meaning, Reish Lakish will look at the Mishnah and say, I know it's a chumrah. How do I know it's a chumrah? Because let's say it was actual bona fide chalitza. So what should the Mishnah say? The Mishnah should say, no chalitza is required. No further chalitza is required. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The only thing the Mishnah says is, oh, she can't marry a kohen. Ah, so it's a chumrah. So which means to say that maker, then the chalitza wasn't good, which is my position. But according to you, Rav Yochanan, the Mishnah really missed the point. Meaning the point of the Mishnah should be no further chalitza is required. The Mishnah doesn't say that. For you, Rav Yochanan, how come the Mishnah didn't say that? So Rav Yochanan will tell you, look, I know the Mishnah doesn't say it, but if you read the Mishnah and you'll see the symmetry of the Mishnah, you'll see why the Mishnah chose the language it did. I did the Tana Reisha lo pasla, Tana Seifa pasla. It's only because in the Reisha it says lo pasla, so in the Seifa it says pasla. Okay, in other words, just for purposes of symmetry, so the Mishnah elected to use that language. But in Hachinami, as far as the Seifa is concerned, no further chalitza is required. Okay. And more back and forth between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Eitzrei Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So here Rav Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish. Ein avlad shel kayama yikayem. Now the Mishnah describes what happens is if you do yibum. Again, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is discussing a really straightforward case of yibum where the brother died. She's left as a widow. There are no children. And you do the mitzvah of yibum, but you did it a little bit early. And it turns out that she was pregnant. So what did we learn in the Mishnah under those circumstances? Now, as I pointed out the beginning of Shir today, now it gets complicated because now you're married to her. So is the marriage legitimate or not? And it's going to depend on when you married her subsequent to her becoming a widow and how many months later did she have the baby and who does the baby belong to? And then the Mishnah at the end talked about you married her 2 months after she was a widow and the baby came out 7 months later, and that really becomes complicated because you don't even know who the father is. But we're not there yet at the Mishnah. We're at an earlier stage of the Mishnah where you married her, and now she's pregnant. So, Ein Avlad Shel Kayama, the Mishnah says, that if the child was not a viable child, so then Yikayim. Meaning now what we could say is that there was a mitzvah of Yibam because there was no child. She was pregnant, but Rachmanis, the pregnancy ended in a miscarriage, and so now there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Now, Bisham, Lididi Damina Chalitza's Mubershma Chalitza, Ubias Mubershma Bia. So once again, Rav Yochanan will tell you, look, my position is that obviously you shouldn't have done it, but is it valid? So Rav Yochanan will tell you, yeah, my position is it's valid. Meaning Chalitza would have been valid during her pregnancy, and Yibum would have been valid also during her pregnancy. So Mishim Hachi Kitani Yikayim. And if you're reading the Mishnah carefully, what does the Mishnah say? Yikayem. What does that mean? Sustained. Sustained means we already did the mitzvah of Yibum, and now we're just simply, we can go forward. But Ela Dichad Amar Chalitza Mubar Loshma Chalitza Bias Mubar Loshma Bia Yachzor V'Yibol V'Yikayem Ibaile. But according to you, Reish Lakish, the language of the Mishnah is imprecise. What should the Mishnah have said? The Mishnah said is that now you got to do the mitzvah of Yibum. I already did. Yeah, but that was during her pregnancy. And according to you, Reish Lakish, that has no validity. So after the miscarriage, so you got to do the mitzvah of Yibum again. Now the mitzvah of Yibum is an act of Bia. But the Mishnah should say that, and it doesn't. So the Gemara says, okay, so Reish Lakish will tell you, look, I know the language of the Mishnah doesn't work in my favor, but we'll read it into the Mishnah. My Yikayem, Yachzor V'Yibol V'Yikayem, Delosagi. Okay. Not yet. In other words, we're at the line of the Mishnah where there was a miscarriage. So if there was a miscarriage, so then what you could do now, you shouldn't have done Yibum at that premature stage, but you did. And now the question becomes is that if she miscarried, what then is the next step? Well, the Mishnah says that there is no next step. The Mishnah just simply says, okay, and we can go forward. Right.
Because you find out she's pregnant. Does he have an opportunity to do Yibum after he does Chalitza because it's not valid?
Right, 100%. Right, 100%. Meaning the Chalitza...
You could do it.
Yeah, right. The Chalitza, according to Reish Lakish, the Chalitza had no validity.
So therefore, you now find out that the baby was not viable and you can actually do Yibum.
Correct. Okay. Absolutely correct. Igadam Reish Lakish of Rav Yochanan. So here, in another version, So here again, we're gonna go in the other direction, meaning same Mishnah, obviously, but we're gonna be medag the other way. If the vlad is ain havlad shel kayama, if the child was not viable, so yikayem bisham lididi. So here the diuk in the Mishnah is the word yikayem. So and I say this with pun intended. So the yikayem is impregnated with meaning. Okay, sorry. Right? Yachzor v'yibol v'yikayem delosagib lavachi. Yikayem means that not only do you sustain the marriage, but yikayem means you got to do bia, meaning everything that you've done up until this point in time had zero validity, and yikayem means that you got to do bia again. And Alan, this is pretty much your point, which is, what do you mean? Anything you did during pregnancy has zero validity. So now what does that mean? It means your options are open, because whatever you did with her during pregnancy has no validity. So you can leave. You can. In other words, you have options. So me by lay. And give me a second. And achinami. The Gemara says. So what Rav Yochum will say in his defense is no. You're right. Meaning yes. Granted, he has options. I did the tana resha yotzi tana nami sefer yikayim. So the Gemara says again for purposes of symmetry of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah uses the word yikayim just simply to be symmetrical with the other half of the Mishnah. But en hachinami, I maintain the position that everything that was done during pregnancy has no validity whatsoever. And so therefore, if, let's say, the pregnancy was not successful, she miscarried. So en hachinami, afterwards, so you could do whichever you want. You want to do chalitza, fine. You want to do yibam, that's also fine as well.
Does it matter if you know she's pregnant before you do it?
No. In other words, this discussion between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is even if you know she's pregnant. Now, again, there's a discussion of what you should do, which is wait, versus what happened, which is you did, either yibam or chalitza.
If you didn't know, even more so. If you didn't know, then you find out she's pregnant. So for sure, it's the same.
Again, there's two discussions to be had. In other words, there's a discussion of what should be done, and then there's a discussion of what if you did it. The discussion of Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is what if you did it. Right, correct.
If you know she's pregnant, then there's no matter for you to do anything with her. There's no yibum.
So what Rav Yochanan will tell you is that no, there is that if you did yibum, meaning again, two discussions. Should you? Answer is absolutely not. If you did it, so Rav Yochanan will tell you it has validity. Now, when I say it has validity, again, going back to the beginning of the sugya, it only will have validity only under the circumstances where she miscarries. If she doesn't miscarry, then there was no mitzvah of yibum, and then you are violating the issa d'oraisa of eishes ach, 100%.
Most pregnancies end up in
successful.
So good. Perfect.
That question is so good. The Gemara is going to ask your question. Okay. Good. Meisve akonis yivim tovim says muber says harezelo sinasei tsaras hashem yehi vlad ben kayama. Okay. So here now a braisa. Yerukonis is Yevimto, and it turns out that she was pregnant. So Harezelo Sinase Sarasa. So you should not marry the co-wife, Shemiyeh Vlad Ben Kayama. Because what may happen is that the Vlad is going to be a Ben Kayama. And again, think it through. If there's a successful baby, so the successful baby will now mean that there was no mitzvah of Yibum. If there was no mitzvah of Yibum, so then we are at the point back at Arayos. Not only can you not be with her, you can't be with any of the co-wives as well. All the co-wives are going to be Eshazach. So, Adarabi Kiyav Havla Ben Kayama Miftar Atzarasa. Now, the Braisa says, Lo Sinase Tzarasa. You're not allowed to marry. The Gemara is bothered by the language. What do you mean you're not allowed to marry? Meaning, there is Lo Miftar Atzarasa. I'm sorry, Miftar Atzarasa. Meaning, she can now go. Meaning, there's no marriage, there's no yibum. The child now means that every one of those women are Eshesach. So Elaema Shema Lo Yehi Avla Ben Kayama. Now, so we're going to edit the Braisa, and the Braisa is now going to be edited to read Shema Lo Yehi Avla Ben Kayama. That maybe the child was not viable. Now, and as a result of that, There now turns out to be retrospectively a mitzvah of Yibum. Now, so the Gemara says, now, if you're of the position that the Bia done to a Muberis is in fact a Bia, which again is the position of Rav Yochanan, Amaylo Sinas Itzarasa, Tipater Bebia Shechaverta. So the Gemara says, what would be the hold up regarding the co-wife? Meaning you did Bia to the, to one of the co-wives, and that Bia, according to Rav Yochanan, is in fact going to be valid. So Amar Abai Bebia Kule Amalo Pligi de Lo Patra. So the Gemara says, no. As far as Bia is concerned, there is not going to be a debate. Ki Pligi Bechalitza. So what Abai is going to try to do now is limit the machlokas of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. What Abai is going to attempt to say is that the debate between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish is only limited to Chalitza, but they are not litigating Bia. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan Sefer Chalitza Mubarash Ma Chalitza, Bia Mubarash Loshma Bia, and Reish Lakish Sefer Bia Mubarash Loshma Bia, Vechalitza Mubarash Loshma Chalitza. So this is what Abai is going to attempt to say, which is that they're only arguing about Chalitza, but they're not arguing about Bia Yibum. When it comes to Bia and Yibum, so they're in agreement, it does not work. The only question between the two of them is whether or not Chalitza works or does not work when you do Chalitza with your pregnant sister-in-law. Amar le Rava Manafshach. Rava says, how can you do that? In other words, the debate is a fundamental debate in terms of how we can look at things retrospectively and what difference does it make whether we're talking about Yibum or Chalitza. They are two sides of the same coin. Top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. You can't separate the two issues. They are the two sides of the very same coin. And if there is candidacy for Chalitza, there by definition must be candidacy for Yibum. And conversely, if there's not, there's not. And Ela Amar Rava Hachi Kamar. So Rava says, fine. So this is now, we have to go back to the Braisa. Because the Braisa is a difficult read. And so Rava says, I'm going to go back to the Braisa, and here's how we'll read the Braisa. Hakonis Yevimto, so again, you did the mitzvah of Yibum with your sister-in-law, Venimses Muberis, and it turns out she was pregnant. Now, Hareza Losinase Tsarasa. So, and so now, don't marry the co-wife, Shema Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama, because now what's going to happen is that the child may in fact be a viable child, Ubiya Muberis Loshma Bia, Vechalitza Muberis Loshma Chalitza, and now, the Bia and the Chalitza are simply disregarded because, once again, at the time, she was, in fact, pregnant. And not only that, it resulted in a viable child, the Havladin Poter Achiyatza Le'avir Olam. Now, as far as the Vlad is concerned, so yes, it's true. When the child comes out, it's going to be a Poter, but that's only when it comes out. Meaning, what we can't say is that the Poter already starts when... while she's pregnant, because again, it's all going to be contingent on the success of her pregnancy. And only if the child comes out as a viable child, then and only then, is there now going to be a cancellation of the mitzvah of Yibum. And now, what you can do now, is that you can, somebody else can come along and marry all these women. So Tanya Kavase de Rava, Hakonis Yivimtov Nimsus Mubaris Hareza Losinase Tsarasa, Shemi Hey Vlad Ben Kayama, Vein Bia Vechalitza Poteris Ella Vlad Poter. The Vlad is going to be the Poter. Vahavlad Ein Poter Ashiyatza La'avir Olam. And it's only going to be a Poter when it comes into this world. Taima de Shemi Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama. So now, as we're reading the Braisa, so now good. The Braisa supports Rava's Pshat of the Braisa, meaning Rava said a good Pshat in the Braisa. Absolutely correct. Meaning that if she turns out to be pregnant, so now everything is in suspension until the baby comes out. Once the baby comes out, now the mitzvah of Yibum is gone, and now all women now can go on and marry other men. Meaning there's going to be an Isser Erva to the brother-in-law, and the women now can marry other men. That's Rava's Pshat in the Braisa, and the Gemara just validated that Pshat in the Braisa by quoting another version of the Braisa, which says exactly that. But now, as long as we quoted the Braisa, the Gemara says, look, let's critically read the Braisa. Time, I'm going back one line. Time is Hashem Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama. So, the Braisa says, maybe the child is going to be a viable child. Ha lo have Vlad Ben Kayama, miftar tsarasa. So that means to say that the child was not viable. So now, as far as the tsara is concerned, the tsara is free. Now the Gemara says, "Lema tavatuf to the Reish Lakish." So this would seemingly be difficult for Reish Lakish. What did Reish Lakish tell us? Reish Lakish told us that anything done during pregnancy has zero validity. Meaning, again, two discussions. Should you have done anything during pregnancy? The answer is no. If you did something during pregnancy, does it have validity? So Reish Lakish says no. The reading of the Braisa would seem to indicate that if you did something during pregnancy, again, everything is held in abeyance until the actual result of the pregnancy. But if you did something during pregnancy, the Braisa seems to indicate that retrospectively it's going to be valid. That's Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. Reish Lakish doesn't agree. How do you read the Braisa if you're Reish Lakish? So lema tavatuf to the Reish Lakish. Amalach Reish Lakish, achi ketani. So Reish Lakish will tell you, okay, I'm going to revisit the Braisa. I'm going to say pshat in the Braisa. Here's how the Braisa reads according to me. So you marry your Yavamish, she turns out to be pregnant. So somebody cannot come in and marry the co-wife, meaning an outsider, obviously. So shema lo yehev la ben kayama. V'chalitzas meberes lo shma chalitzo, bias meberes lo shma bia. Because the child may not be viable, meaning that is a possibility. The child's not going to be viable. And anything done during pregnancy has no validity to it whatsoever. And what comes out now, consequently, is that if the child is not a viable child, now we're back to the mitzvah of Yibum. And now all these women are Yavamas. And no outsider is allowed to marry Yavama. Vim tomar halacha charov nashim verov nashim vlad malia yaldan. So now the Gemara asked a question, Danny asked this question about 5 minutes ago, and that is, well, look, at this point in time, we don't know, meaning she's pregnant. And now a question of the big discussion we've been having over the course of today's daf was, if the brother-in-law were to do something during that pregnancy, does it have validity, yes or no? Rav Yochanan says yes, Reish Lakish says no. Good, that's the discussion we've been having. The Gemara now wants to know, as far as the co-wives are concerned, Why can't the co-wives work operate on Rove? Meaning, the co-wives question now. Look, right now, our sister-in-law is in a awkward situation, right? The brother-in-law did Yibum with our excellent correction. So the co-wives now are looking at their co-wife and said, look, she's in an awkward situation. They did Yibum to her, or he did. He's sorry. Ugh. Okay. All right, I'm almost there. Okay, yeah. He did Yibum to her, and she's pregnant. And so now, right, we are stuck. Okay, but stuck over here, meaning wait till the end of the pregnancy, and everything will get resolved one way or another. Fine. But the Gemara's question now is, why can't the co-wives, I said it correctly, why can't the co-wives operate on Rov? Meaning, most of the time, pregnancy results in a viable child. And on the predicate of Rove, on the principle of Rove, can't these women just basically move on with their lives? That's the Gemara's question. Halacha charov nashim verov nashim vlad ma'alya yaldan vlad ein poter achi yetzala avir ha'olam. So the Gemara says it's true. But when does the patur occur? The patur occurs only at the time of birth. So you're right, meaning the majority of the time it is going to result in a viable child, but the patur only works when the child actually comes out. Okay. Between the co-wives and the yavam, meaning once the yavam does yibum, so again, according to Rav Yochanan, that was a viable yibum. Again, he shouldn't have done it, but it's a viable yibum. So does it break the Zika with the others? I don't know. Right, but again, according to Rav Yochanan, it has validity. She shouldn't have done it, but it has validity. Right. Okay. I don't know. Correct. Right. In Mimanafshach now, either way, the co-wives are going to be able to be released. But the point of release is only going to be at the time of the birth. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar, Efshei Yisa Lahad Reish Lakish V'lo Tanan La Ben Masnisan. Now, Rav Elazar makes the following comment, meaning we have a sheet of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish's position is that there is zero validity to anything that's done during pregnancy. It's just simply not valid. Now, it's got to be corroborated by a Mishnah or a Braisa. And I'm going to go and find that Mishnah Braisa that corroborates Reish Lakish. I don't fully follow the sentiment of Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar obviously being an Amora. I don't fully follow his sentiment, meaning we normally pass like Reish Lakish, as we're going to see in today's daf. No. The vast majority of the time we follow the Shita of Rav Yochanan. So his sentiment of there has to be something corroborating Reish Lakish, is he saying that in general? Is he saying it specifically here? I'm not fully following the sentiment, but clearly his point is clear. There has to be some corroboration. Good, I'm going to find it. Nafak dak vashkach. So good. So he does a little bit of investigation, and lo and behold, did not. So it's a Mishnah. It is later in the Masechta, much later, almost at the end of the Masechta. Ha'isha shalach bala v'tzaras l'midina sayam. So the husband went away on a business trip, and he took one of his wives. Okay. In general, how does it work? So when you have multiple wives, then who do you take with you? Okay. I'm sure it's complicated. So anyway, so he took one of his wives with him. Uvalva amrula, and now coming back, and they say to her, meaning the one who did not go, so meis balech, so your husband died. So under normal circumstances, look, at the end of the Masechta, we will be spending a lot of time talking about this most desperate situation of a woman not knowing what happened to her husband, and he didn't return. Okay, and that's Eidus Isha, which is a big part of this Masechta. But over here, all this now becomes complicated by the fact that the co-wife was with him. And what happened over there? Did she become pregnant? Did she have a child? They went away for a long time. So it's a complication. So now what? So the Mishnah tells us, so now, do not marry, do not do Yibum, because what you have to find out now is that, look, there, in other words, you know you didn't have a child. That you know. But it could be that your co-wife had a child, and if she did, so now there's no mitzvah of Yibum. But if your co-wife didn't have a child, now there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, so obviously it's a complication.
She's like an Aguna almost. Huh?
She is an Aguna. Okay. Not right. We normally say Aguna in terms of the husband refusing to give a get. Over here, the term Aguna just simply means that she's stuck. Okay, she is. She's stuck. So Bishlam Yuvomi Lo Shma Lo Shema Yehi Vlad Ben Kayama Viv Kabi Yisrael Shasach Daraisa. I certainly understand how Yibum is just simply off the table because we don't know whether or not there is a Zika, there is no Zika. It's going to be contingent on whether the co-wife had a child, did not have a child. And so I understand Yibum is off the table. But Ela Lo Sach Lo Tz'amai. So the Gemara says, but don't do Chalitza, I don't understand. So within 9 months, I understand the Hainu Suffolk. So the Gemara says, because at that point in time, it's going to be a Suffolk. And Rashi over here, you see the Rashi is a little bit longer over here. Rashi had a different Girsa in the Gemara. Rashi didn't like the Girsa. Anyway, the Girsa that Rashi likes is the one that we have. So we're going to go forward. So Ela Tachlos B'toch Tisha V'tinas Elach Tisha. So the Gemara says, but why not do Chalitza? Meaning, isn't Chalitza basically going to be a cover-all-bases maneuver over here? Right? What are your options? Your options is that there is a Zika, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Good. And I understand, but you can't do that because there's also an option that there is no mitzvah of Yibum, and if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, it's Rav Eshesach. I get that. But Chalitza should cover our basis because if there was a requirement of Yibum, Chalitza takes care of it. If there was no requirement of Yibum, so then Chalitza was just simply a ceremony, a strange ceremony. So Vitinas Alachatish Olatamech. And so wondering now, why not do Chalitza during the 9 months and then go ahead and get married after the 9 months are over? So the Gemara says, and that's not an option. According to Reish Lakish, do you know why it's not an option? Because you can't do Chalitza during those 9 months. Anything during pregnancy is simply invalid. So the Gemara says, really, that's a proof for Reish Lakish? So I don't understand. Even according to Reish Lakish, you do Chalitza 9 months later. After 9 months later, you do Chalitza 10 months later. Reish Lakish will for sure tell you that should be valid, and that's not suggested in the Braisa, in this case Mishnah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ela bar mina de'ahi. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, leave that Mishnah out of our discussion. It doesn't inform us about our discussion. So So the Gemara says that the reason why chalitza is off the table over there is a separate consideration. That separate consideration is the following. Again, what was our proposal in that devastating situation? So do chalitza. It'll cover everything, right? Well, maybe what's going to happen is that later on there will be a discovery, and that discovery is that there was, in fact, a baby. In other words, the co-wife did become pregnant, not only that, had a viable child. Now what? Now let's make an announcement that, you know what, this woman over here received chalitza, but unnecessarily. And now let us allow her to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says, okay, so Lutzurcha. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So broadcast the information. What's the big deal? So Dema Ika Inish Dahavi Bechalitza Velahavi Beachraza. So the Gemara says again, because now we're worried about people walking away with erroneous conclusions, because everyone saw the chalitza, and now what do we have to do? We have to take back a chalitza using some sort of mass publication, broadcasting the information. So not everyone's going to be hearing the rescinding of the chalitza. Vasalamim or Kasher Chalitza Kohen. And now everyone's going to think she's a chalitza. She's now married to a Kohen. Oh, okay. So what will come out now is a total distortion of halacha. And so that's why chalitza now is going to be off the table. Amar le Abaye, mida lo tachlo velo tisyabim ketani, lo si nasi velo tisyabim ketani. Below chalitza. So Abaye says, look, I don't think you're successfully reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not mention the word chalitza. If you look back at the Mishnah, it's right in the middle of the Amud. Look back at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Harizu lo sinase v'lo sisyabim. Doesn't even mention chalitza. So what I'll tell you is, aval I chalitz la hachinami d'shaya. I'll just simply say that no, chalitza is not taken off the table, but rather chalitza really is an option, because once again, chalitza will cover all bases. And I guess, in other words, the Gemara doesn't finish Abaye's point, but I guess according to Abaye, and if we need to rescind it, I'm not sure. Maybe in Achinami we'll try to rescind it, or alternatively, maybe one that's it. In other words, we won't rescind it. Okay, whatever. But the if what? Say it again. Right, chalitza as a maneuver to cover bases in the case of safek is still an option. Meaning, what we learned earlier this morning is that if there is no yibam, there's no chalitza. If there's no chalitza and there's no yibam, they're two sides of the same coin. But in the case of safek, which is what we're doing over here, and just to cover our bases, so then we'll allow for chalitza even though yibam is not an option. Okay, but it's a good clarification. Tanya kavasa deresh lakish. Okay. After much discussion, right? I'm looking at the time, 37 minutes. After much discussion, more than an Amud, almost a full daf, right? All of yesterday's Amud Beis and most of today's Amud Aleph, discussing the back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. The question is really simple, okay? Should you do anything during pregnancy? No. Simple. If you did something during pregnancy, either Yibam or Chalitza, so does it have validity? So Reish Lakish will tell you zero validity during pregnancy. Rav Yochanan says, no, it's going to be valid. So now in this machlokas, the Gemara finally concludes. Tanya kavasa deReish Lakish acholitz lemubers veipilat tzricha chalitza min achin. So you do chalitza while she's pregnant and she miscarried. So now it turns out now that chalitza is required. Ah, but chalitza was done. What's the halacha? Really clear in this braisa. Tzricha chalitza min achin. The brothers will do chalitza. And again, I mentioned this yesterday. Presumably, the guy who did chalitza can also do chalitza as well. The only point of the braisa is, if others want to, for whatever reason, they could do chalitza. Regardless, the point is that anything done during pregnancy is simply has zero validity. Meaning, like the position of Reish Lakish. And here we go. Three times in Shas. Where we pass on like Reish Lakish, and this being one of those three times. Amar Rav Hilchasa Kavasa deReish Lakish Bahani Tlas. So, halacha falls like Reish Lakish on three occasions in Shas. This being one of the three times. What are the other two times? So the Gemara now goes through the other two times in Shas will be passing like Reish Lakish, not like Rav Yochanan. Number two. Chada hadamaran. One, done. Number two. Idach tidnana mechalak nechasav alpiv. So, father wants to now divide his estate. Now, probate law. Everyone ready? So if, in fact, he dies, so what happens regarding the estate? So the Torah has really clear instructions in terms of what happens to the estate. That's called Yerusha. So everyone's going to get equitable division of the estate, with notable exception to the firstborn. Firstborn is going to be receiving Pishnaim. He'll receive 2x of what everyone else is receiving as x. So far, so good. We know that already. The father would like to redistribute his estate differently. Can he do that? 100%. Just not as Yerusha. In other words, what he'll do is he'll just simply apportion and allocate his estate while he's still alive. And just simply give whichever one of his children as much of the estate he wants while he's alive. Is he circumnavigating the rules of Yerusha? Not at all. Yerusha just simply says that if he dies, this is how the Torah is going to divide his estate. While he's alive, he wants to redistribute differently. It's absolutely within his right to do so. So, HaMechalik Nechasav Al Piv Riba Lacharu Mielachad V'Hishva Lemes HaBechor Dvarv Kayamim. So in his redistribution of his estate, where he's now allocating and giving to his sons based on what he would want, and his firstborn, I'm just giving a little narration over here, he's not too particularly happy with. He doesn't think it's so responsible. And therefore, with the firstborn, he just basically says, you're going to be receiving equal portions to the others. And here's the important point, and that is he gifts it while he's still alive, 100% acceptable. However, imam armishim yerusha lo amar klum. Now, but let's say he says, what I would like this, everything I'm saying right now is going to be the Yerusha. If he says that, so now cancel the order, because what he cannot do is he can't rewrite the Torah. In other words, if he wants to now provide new rules of how Yerusha works, he can't do that. That is the rule of Ein Adam Masna Amasha Kasa B'Torah. You can't rewrite the rules of the Torah. So, now let's say that his attorney happens to be a little bit off. And so while his attorney is writing up this document where he's gifting his estate to his kids while he's alive, so the attorney now starts writing. He starts writing Yerusha, then followed by Matana, and then Yerusha. And you're following the doc, and you notice now the inconsistencies of, did he mean it as the Yerusha? Did he mean it as the Matana? So there are mixed messages in the document. So as long as the word Matana is somewhere in there, Kayamin. Meaning as long as you see the word Matana tucked away anywhere in that document, so then it's going to work. That's the Mishnah. Then, top of the Amud Beis, V'amar Reish Lakish. It's not related. In other words, we're just looking at the three times we pass on like Reish Lakish. That's all. So the Amar Reish Lakish Olam Lokana Ashi Amar Ploni Uploni Yarshu Sad Deplonis Plonis Shena Satin Lamba Matana V'Yarshum. Now, as Rashi points out over here, Reish Lakish is not arguing on the Mishnah. He can't, meaning that's simply unacceptable. But what's happening over here is the following: is that let's say he wrote different documents for every one of his sons, and in it, once again, whoever is drafting the document is a little bit off. And he's writing for one son, he wrote it, it's going to work through Yerusha. And through another son, he wrote Matana. And another son, he wrote Yerusha. What happens in that circumstance? So Rav Yochanan will tell you is that, well, as long as he wrote Matana on one of the documents to one of the kids, that's sufficient. Meaning that shows us that, again, whoever was off, the father was off, the attorney was off, whoever was drafting the document. So as long as Matana is somewhere to one of the kids, that's enough. And Reish Lakish says, no. Meaning, the only way it's going to work is that you have to find the word Matana in every document that is written for every child. Then and only then does it work. But if one of the documents does not have the word Matana, then we're back to Yerusha and the rules of Yerusha. Okay, that's Reish Lakish's position. And in that regard, we pass like Reish Lakish. And then finally, number three. Okay. Father does the following. New topic. And that is that the factory. I'm just giving an example. Okay. Because a factory with, and its production, just, it's easy for us to see that as an example. Okay. So what happens over here is the following. The father had a factory. Okay. Built a factory. It produces. Everything's well and good. And he sees that he's approaching the end of his life. And so right now he's going to do the following. Son, factory is yours. However, everything it produces is mine until I die. And then, obviously, you will get production. So well, this is what's called guf and peros. Right? The factory itself, that's guf. The production, that's peros. So now the question is the following. Right now, as the father has gifted over the guf to his son, so the son now owns the principal, but the father now still retained the production. So that the father has what's called kinyan peros. Okay. Is that now considered, does the father have ownership in it? Now, I say the word ownership. In English, it does not translate well. Okay. Because obviously, who's the owner now? The son's the owner. But what the father has is all rights to all production that it makes. Okay. So the father is an owner. But again, the word owner over here can be misleading. I understand that. I'm sure there's a better legal term. Okay. I just don't, you know what I mean? I don't have enough legal knowledge to use the right term. Tosas asked your question. Okay, good. Third Tosas. Okay. Anyway. Well, perfect. Anyway, so Hakosev called the chassel of Nolachem also having Yochalim called Mimnation Nasal Event. So, what the father cannot do is the father can't sell it. Of course, the father can't sell it because the father right now is not the owner. So, Vaben and Yochalim called Mimnation Brishasav. And the son also cannot sell. Why? Because it's true that he owns the factory, but right now he doesn't own production. So, Machar Av Mechurin Achiamus. Now, let's say the father sells. So good. So the father can sell. Now, when the father sells, when we say the father's selling, what is the father selling? So he's selling rights to the production. He could sell that. In other words, and until the father dies, whoever purchases those rights will be able to enjoy the production that that factory produces until the death of the father. Meaning, once the father dies, what happens to that production? That production goes to the son. Good. So, Machar HaBen, Ein Lalokleach Klum Achiamus Ha'af. Now, let's say the son sells. So the son decides that, look, thank you so much, Dad, for giving me the factory. And then he turns around and sells it. Okay. was the father interested in that? Who knows? Doesn't matter. In other words, we're just dealing with the consequences of the actions. So if the son sells, so now as far as the lokech is concerned, so ein lokech klum achiyamus av, meaning now what does the buyer have? So the buyer has a factory, but so what? Meaning at this point in time, he doesn't have rights to the production. The father retained those production rights for himself. And so when, if and when the father dies, so now the sale would be finalized. Good. The itmar. So far, so good. That was all but a mishnah baba basra. And now the itmar. Machar ha ben bechayav umesa ben bechayav. Let's say the son sells and Rachmanus, the son died before the father. Okay. So in such a circumstance, again, the son had the factory, the father had the production, the son sold the factory, but again, the son did not, what was absent to the son was the rights to the production. And so the sale is going to be in abeyance until the father dies. But now we're discussing a scenario in which the son sold the factory and the son predeceases the father. Was the sale a valid sale? Yes or no? So Rav Yochanan Amar Lo Kana Lokeach, Reish Lakish Amar Kana Lokeach. So Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish now are going to be debating. Rav Yochanan says that the sale is not a transaction. Reish Lakish says the sale was a transaction. Rav Yochanan Amar Lo Kana Lokeach, Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguf Damei, because what the father is now able to do with his rights to production. Again, I'm going to use the word ownership, but limited ownership. In other words, ownership to the production. What the father has is what's called kinyan peros. Kinyan peros ke kinyan haguf dami. It is tantamount to him owning the factory. Meaning to say that his ownership of the production is enough to block the sale. And Reish Lakish amar kana lokeach. And Reish Lakish is of the position that no, that the lokech was in fact kone. Kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf dami. Meaning because the father, just because the father still retained rights of the production is not enough to block the sale. The sale went through. I, the son, predeceased the father. So what? The factory was sold. I, the father, still retains the right to production. That's true. But that's not going to block the sale. And if and when, not if. And when the father dies, right? There's no, right? That's the ultimate. That's inevitable. So when the father dies, so then the purchaser of that factory now is going to receive production, meaning, but the sale goes through. This is a classic debate of kinyan peros. How do we view kinyan peiros? How much of an ownership stake in the item do you have when you retain the rights of production? And this is a basic machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And on this, so how do we paskin? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how we paskin. It's really clear. So this is one of those times where we paskin like Reish Lakish and not like Rav Yochanan. And Reish Lakish's position is that kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguftami, that we don't view the rights of production as if you have an ownership stake, and the one who owns the guf has the right to sell it, and the sale is going to be valid, period. Okay. Let's do a little bit more this morning. Yes. Let's just do a little bit more. Ein avlad shel kayama. Okay, so the Mishnah, we go back to the Mishnah. We just, over the course of today's daf, as a quick almost end of daf review, is that it's really simple. Three times in Shas, we passed like Reish Lakish. And we went through today. Today's daf, Lamed Vav, we went through the three times in Shas where we do, in fact, paskin like Reish Lakish. One is the validity of any action that you do during your sister-in-law's pregnancy. You did Chalitza, you did Yibam during the pregnancy. Does it have validity? Reish Lakish says, no, that's the halacha. That was a lot of daf summarized in one sentence, but good. That was conclusion. And number two, when drafting a document where you want to reallocate your assets to your children, but not in a equitable fashion, and you want to gift it to them while you're alive, so you may do that. That's a given. In the document, in each one of the documents, you have to have the word matana. If you fail to have the word matana in each one of the documents, so then it doesn't work. Good. That's number two. And finally, number three.
I thought Yochanan said that every document had to say, but as long as one of them said it was fine, no?
Reish Lakish says, La'olam lo kana ad shiyamar. Ploni uploni. It has to be in.
Reish Lakish goes, if it's to be said in every document?
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the Gemara's conclusion. Okay. For sure, double check my work, but I think that's the conclusion. And then finally, number three is you have rights. You don't own the principal, but you have rights to production. Can you block sales? And the answer is no. Meaning, kinyan apeiros lavka kinyan haguf. Okay. You know what? Well, no, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. No, that'll be the end of daf review. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up with what happens when you do yibam during pregnancy and it turns out that the baby wasn't viable. So your behavior was reckless behavior. Are you going to get rewarded for that reckless behavior? So our Mishnah seems to indicate yes. And tomorrow we'll talk about whether or not everyone's in agreement with that position that you're going to get rewarded for reckless behavior.